This is the last Sunday that Dawson and Celine will be with us or can be with us. And so please take up the opportunity to go by and say hi, introduce yourself, let them know that you're praying for them and that you will continue to pray for them as they're planning to head back to Zambia on December the 29th, I believe, if my memory serves me correctly. And so, yes, please take an avail of that. We do have a list of all of our missionaries that on a regular prayer schedule that I work with and I pray with on our prayer meetings on Wednesday nights. And so if you want that list, or please indicate to me that, and I will make that available to you. I can't mention all of our missionaries from the pulpit here due to situations of their ministry. And so even in the bulletin, you will know that I do not list some of our missionaries, and that's specific on purpose that way. But if you want that sheet and have a regular prayer time, then please ask me for that, or maybe I'll just make a bunch available and put them on the information booth in the back. I think it's awfully important that we have a regular time and we're praying for our missionaries, that we get blessed to be in ministry with. And that's the way we need to see it, is that we are partners with them in sharing the gospel around the world, and that they need to feel that they have partners in the work, especially when the discouraging times come. So let that be an encouragement to us. I want to continue on this morning in our series on the Holy Spirit and some aspects of the evidence of the Holy Spirit. And so I've titled my message, His Presence, Our Certainty. And I think it's awfully important, because what we have done is that God has provided us with His presence living within us. And too often what we do is we minimize Him, and we minimize His ministry and His potential of His ministry in our lives. And one of the things that we need to come and have clarity for is a whole area of His presence and the evidence of His presence. And so if you turn on your TVs these days, I'm not sure how many of you actually turn your TVs on, but you will come across many listings for crime shows. And I'm not sure if that interests you, but it seems to be an interest in the world at large. In fact, I just did kind of a little search, and I think there's like 50 different shows that you can find or that you can maybe have been on in the past. And so currently there's many listings that are there. But also there's many listings from our older generation as well, that maybe you have fallen in love with some of those old crime shows. And what they seek to do is they seek to sort or solve a crime, and then by looking at the evidence, come to a conclusion on the guilt or the innocence of some individual who committed that crime. And so they have a brief timeline, and so they seek to solve the show in either a half an hour or an hour. And I know that in real life that it sometimes takes a lot longer than that to come to a conclusion. And so we're thankful for those individuals who have been trained and gained skills in being able to look at evidence and interpret evidence and come to an area of science called forensic science and their skills that they have. Thank the Lord for those who have skill sets in that area. Those conclusions are taken to our court system, and our court system seeks to take that evidence and make it come to a conclusion on the guilt or innocence of an individual and the importance of them being able to do that, to come to a conclusion. Now, yes, in our world, it doesn't work always the most ideal, but we're still seeking to come to a conclusion on the evidence. Evidence is important in bringing us to a conclusion on the truthfulness of something having taken place, a conclusion on the guilt or the innocence of an individual. And so we're living in a period of where we are not sure what is truth, and we need to examine the evidence and conclude on truth. And so you can go and you look on the news, and maybe you even look at your Facebook page, and you examine there, and you say, wow, I didn't know that take place. And then you soon find out, no, that's fake news. And we have a lot of that fake news. And we need to today be people that understand and zero down on what is the evidence, and is the evidence the truth. Thus the importance of the Word of God. Thus the importance of spending time reading His Word. The Word of God shares with us evidences of the Holy Spirit in our lives as well. His presence with us. And He brings us to a place of certainty. and of his presence, but also certainty that the promises that of our Heavenly Father are true in the life of the believer. And so as we look at the Word of God and we examine here, and we're going to look at some passages here this morning, some evidences that we can know of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the function of the Spirit in our lives, the importance of having the Holy Spirit reside with us, and thus the importance of that when before Christ left, he sought to reassure his disciples that a comforter would come, but also the Holy Spirit would come and he would empower them. Our power for ministry, our power and opportunity to be involved in others' lives comes as a direct bearing on the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Many of us are functioning in ministry and believing that if I just spend enough time studying, if I just spend enough time preparing, that's good enough. And I'm not denying the importance of that, but we've forgotten something. We've forgotten the ministry of the Spirit and the importance of the ministry of the Spirit in each of our lives. To be certain is very important if you're seeking to come to a conviction. And certainty is very important when it comes to knowing that we are a child of God and that you were adopted, as we're going to find in this passage here this morning. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd like to begin by reading here out of Romans 8, verses 14 to verse 16. Romans chapter 8. Let me begin reading at verse 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are his children, but also the fact that in his leading us, we have evidence of his presence. Many of us walk forward in life with doubts. We're wondering, am I really a child of God? And one of the ministries that God has given to us is the presence of his spirit, that we can put that to rest. We can end our doubts. We don't have to walk, am I saved or am I not saved? This morning, if you have the indwelling Holy Spirit residing within you, he testifies to the truth of who you are and whose you are this morning. And we this morning need to put that to rest. That if you are in that place this morning where you are doubting whether you are a child of God, then I would say make sure of the fact before you leave here this morning. We have daily assurance of our security and identity when we allow the Spirit of God to lead us. The meaning of the verse is one who is constantly being led by the Spirit are sons of God. And so this morning, as a child of God, you are constantly being led by the Spirit of God. How is he leading you? He's leading you towards sanctification. He takes up an indwelling permanent presence in our lives. And he takes up residence in our spirits and seeks to lead and testify to us. But this brings us to the question of what it means to be led. The Holy Spirit's purpose is to progressively sanctify. In fact, if you look back at verse 13, let me read that. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. What is one of the ministries of the Spirit in our lives? He is seeking to lead us to truth. He's seeking to make us aware of sin in our lives and to put to death the deeds of the flesh, the deeds of the body. That is one of the ministries of in this area of sanctification. He's sending us apart more and more from the world and more onto God for his purposes and his glory. And so one of the ministries he has in our life is that we might become more and more reflective of Christ. He leads us to Christ. And by doing that, he's making us so that we more and more reflect Christ's character and his character in our lives. It is the Holy Spirit who awakens within us the first faint longings for God and goodness, as we see in the book of John. It is the Holy Spirit who convicts us of our sin and leads us to the cross, where that sin is forgiven. It is the Holy Spirit who enables us to be freed from the sins which have us in their grip, as we see in verse 13, and to gain the virtues which are the fruit of the Spirit as well. The Holy Spirit is vitally important in each of our lives. bringing us to that place where we seek and where we came and we started here. He put that longing in our hearts where we responded to the gospel. We came to the cross. We met the Savior. And then as we walked from the cross with a new, as a new creation in Christ, as a new child of God, he gave us the Spirit, his Spirit, to reside within us, to awaken Christ in our lives, to bring us to that place where we are seeking and our eyes are focused on him. The leading of the Spirit is not harsh, but gentle. He is not repressive, but kind. We know from Isaiah 30, verse 21, your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right or turn to the left, the Holy Spirit is there seeking to guide and direct our hearts, to motivate us, to encourage us in the way that we should go. He does not lead as a tyrant, but as a teacher. And so he is there. He lives and he resides within our spirit. He's in communication with our spirit. And through our spirit is in communication with our souls, our mind and our emotions and our will, seeking to direct us. When we allow the Spirit of God to direct our lives, then what we are seeking to do is we're seeking to ask him to direct my thoughts, direct my will, and direct my desires that I have, the will that I have, that our will might meet up with his will. The leading of the Spirit is not sporadic or haphazard, but steady and sustained. He doesn't seek to come in, and at different periods, all of a sudden, he steps in. No, he is constantly there. The usage of the language here is in the present tense, meaning that he is a constant, abiding presence in each of our lives. And then thirdly, the leading of the Holy Spirit is authenticating. By his constant, gentle leading, the Spirit assures us that we are indeed children of God, born again into the line of the second Adam, and on our way to heaven. But his language does not promise us relief from every weariness of the journey. From the weariness of the journey, he doesn't promise us a life, a great and glorious life, the alleviation of all the suffering along the road, freedom from difficulty or danger on our course that he has for us. He doesn't promise that. But what he does promise us is that the way that we are going, that we are placed in the right path, that we will be kept continuously in it, that we will attain the goal that he has for us if we allow his Spirit to direct in each of our lives. If we are seeking to be led by the Spirit, we know that the path we are on, whether that be through hard times or whether that be through easy times, that's up to him. But I know that his presence will be continuously with me in and through that, whatever he has us to go through. The believer in Christ is not to live in any state of fear as well. We have received the life of Christ, the resurrection of our Lord, and thus we are able to live in freedom from the fear that conscience inspires. The Holy Spirit whom you have received does not produce a slavish and anxious state of mind. He seeks to bring us to that place where we can rest in the truth that we are his child, and because of that, we have his indwelling presence living within us. The Spirit does not base his testimony to our spirit on our progress or lack of progress in our Christian walk. There's always some evidence. It's because of his indwelling presence that we see in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Because we are new creations in Christ. That is a truth that we are if you are a child of God with his indwelling presence. Yes, we can interfere. We can hinder the work of the Spirit in each of our lives. But he is continuously seeking to develop Christ's character in each of our lives as well. When we hinder the work of the Spirit in our lives, the work of God in sanctification is affected, and our fellowship is hindered, and our assurance as his child is also hindered. Yes, we can walk forward in doubt when we're hindering the work of the Spirit and his testimony in our lives. We can hinder the work of sanctification. We can hinder the work of the Spirit bringing us to that place where we recognize sin, and he brings us to a place where we say, yes, God, I agree with you, and we seek to ask his forgiveness for that. We can hinder that work in each of our lives. But he is still at work. His presence is still there. Yes, do I feel his presence? Maybe sometimes I don't feel his presence. Because we have made a choice that I'm going to walk away from him. But he continues in a second evidence here in John chapter 16, verse 13. John 16, let me read verse 13. John 16, verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will guide, he will speak, and he will disclose to you. He wants to disclose the deep truths of God to you. He communicates with our spirit, truth. And the Holy Spirit speaks from his nature, which is truth, and thus can be relied upon and trusted. We have the evidence as a child of God that we can walk and move forward in truth because of his indwelling presence with us. He will always lead you to glorify Jesus Christ. That is a ministry of the Spirit in our lives. He lifts up the name of Christ. And if there's a name that's being attacked in our world today, it is the name of Christ, the name of Jesus in our world today. And we have the Spirit to lift up the name of Christ in our lives. Not self, not an idea, not a project, not a ministry, an ideology, not an image. He will glorify me, for he will take a mind and will disclose it to you. Secondly, he always leads you to the truth. God's word alone is truth. This truth is exclusive and is found in him. And so if you want to know truth this morning, spend time in God's word. Spend time getting to know him. Spend time seeking his leading in your life, in the ministry of the Spirit in your life. He will always lead you in the way of understanding and applying scriptures. The Spirit's leadership strengthens obedience, faithfulness, and conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. And then fourthly, he always leads you to more and more dependence upon the Father. C.H. Spurgeon had this to say, "Truth is like a vast cavern into which we desire to enter, but we are not able to traverse it alone. At the entrance, it is clear and bright, but if we would go further and explore its innermost recesses, we must have a guide, or we shall lose ourselves. The Holy Spirit, who knows all truth perfectly, is the appointed guide of all truth, guide of all true believers, and he conducts them as they are able to bear it, from one inner chamber to another, so that they behold the deep things of God, and his secret is made plain to them." And so what he does is we seek to spend time in prayer. So we speak time in his word. We can go to think, "God, would you guide me into truth?" And you know what? We have a heavenly Father who knows how to give good gifts. We have a heavenly Father who desires for us to know him because he's revealed himself to us through his word. Thus the importance of spending time reading the word of God that we might get to know him. And he desires that we might become knowledgeable about him. Both the Father and the Son are deeply interested in the education of his children. The gift of the Holy Spirit implies there's much more for Christians in this life than mere salvation from wrath. The importance of that, the importance of coming to the cross. But God does not want to leave us there. He wants us to grow in his truths. He wants us to grow in our knowledge of him. And we have an eternity ahead to look forward to, growing deep in his truth. And I believe that eternity is not long enough for us to come to a conclusion of all the truths of who our God is. Ignorance of the things of God is evidence, I believe, of a grieved spirit. He's opened up his truth. He's laid it out for us. And if we are ignorant in it, it is because we have failed to come to his word and we have grieved him. The fruit of the Spirit is also another evidence of the Spirit's presence in our lives. And so we know that we're going to be going to Galatians chapter 5. So let's just turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Looking at verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. 9 different characteristics, and maybe you were thinking here this morning, wow, I think I can get one of these. But here he's talking about fruit, meaning that this is one fruit. And it's like a cluster. It's a singular here, stressing the fact that the 9 virtues compose a uniform whole. If one is missing, then we do not have the fruit of the Spirit. And so one of the works of the Spirit in each of our lives is to develop these characteristics that they might become true about you. Yes, we're in all different places. Sometimes it's just a budding presence in our lives. But as we walk with him, as we walk, spend time with the Spirit, then these qualities grow more visible, more evidence in each of our lives. His fruit comes from a rooted abiding. You can divide the nine fruits into three categories, and there's, I know there's different categories that people use. One category is called personal fruit. Love, joy, peace deals with our subjective personal life. The second might be outreaching fruit to others, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. This is our attitude and grace towards others. Thirdly, upreaching fruit towards God, faith, meekness, and temperance. It covers our complete responsibility towards God, our fellow man, and others. The fruit which the Spirit produces in and through the lives of believers as they walk in his grace and power, submitted and surrendered to the Spirit. And so another evidence that we have in the Spirit of that we have the Spirit of God living within us is that these qualities become evidence in our lives. These qualities become evidence in our relationships to others. These qualities become evidence in our relationship with our Heavenly Father as well. And his fruit is always the outward manifestation of the yielded believer's inner life. Gifts of the Spirit as acts of service can be imitated, while the fruit of the Spirit as character cannot. The fruit of the Spirit is not a choice we make, but an inevitable manifestation in those who are truly born of God. And so, we the church, we the body of Christ, we who are his children and are children of God, displaying these fruit are necessary in the lives of doing ministry with one another. The importance of having these fruits. The importance of love. This love, as we are, I'm sure you're familiar with, is the agape love of God. Joy, godly optimism, even in trying circumstances. Peace, godly contentment despite our circumstances. Patience, courageous endurance over time. Steadfastness, kindness, a gracious disposition toward others. Goodness, love in action. Faithfulness, dependability. Gentleness, meekness, my power under God's control. Self-control, my desire under God's control. This might be one definition that we can use of these character traits that the Spirit wants to develop in each of us. So maybe a question we need to ask ourselves is, how are we doing in these characteristics? How are you doing in your love, not only for him, but your love for each other and love for others in the body of Christ? Demonstrating that love. If you're a child of God, it should be there. Is it becoming evident in our lives? Joy, godly optimism, even in trying circumstances, and many of us have been going through some trying circumstances. Is joy in evidence? Each of these are characteristics in their own right, but as a piece of the fruit of the Spirit, they are like a cluster of grapes on the same vine. You cannot have one without the other. When the Holy Spirit takes up residence at salvation, he begins his work of sanctification. In each of our lives, by communicating with our spirit and our spirit communicating with our soul. And so, yes, he's taken up residence within our spirits. He communicates with our spirit. And our spirit needs to communicate with our souls. And then our soul directs our body and not the other way around, as many seek to try and do. And there we fail and we get frustrated. And so we yield to the Spirit's work in our lives, because this is fruit that he wants to develop. This is his fruit. And what we have to do is we have to allow him to develop that fruit in our lives. These are three ways that the Spirit testifies his presence in the believer's life. Do you have assurance this morning that you are a child of God? As one involved in a ministry, are you seeking him for truth? Is his fruit a characteristic of your life? And so this morning, I don't want you to leave here with doubts still residing in your mind. Please put those to rest, because the Spirit of God wants them put to rest. Because if you are going to mature and grow in your relationship with him, you need to put that to rest this morning. That we walk and each of us walk out of here as a child of God. I know the truth. I am his and he is mine. And he testifies to that fact. You do not have to walk in doubt whether you're a child of God. If you have the indwelling Holy Spirit in you, do, if you're a child of God, you can listen into the testimony of the Spirit in your life. Yes, we go through periods when all of a sudden that comes under attack. But we can rest in the Spirit of God in each of our lives, in the testimony that he gives. If you're attempting to do ministry in your own learning and skill set, please come before him and confess and seek his power and equipping. You know what? We as Ozer Mission Chapel and the ministries, and we recently had this election season, and many of you are going to be beginning new ministries. Can I encourage you, if you're going to step into those ministries, step into them saying, God, I want your power. God, I want you to teach and instruct me, and I want to place myself as a learner under your hand. And I know that God is going to do mighty things if we seek to do ministry in his power and his leading and strength. We're in need of displaying the fruit of the Spirit within the family of God, but also to the world who yet do not believe. There are those of us here who are walking with hurts administered by others in the family of God. You, by the leading of the Spirit of God and displaying the fruit of the Spirit, can go a long ways in helping to address these hurts. You know what? It's kind of inevitable that we sometimes hurt each other. We need to come with these fruits and exhibit and display these fruits in our lives towards the body of Christ, but not just the body of Christ. If we're going to reach Ozer with the gospel, if we're going to reach your community that you're living in with the gospel, it will go a long ways in sharing the gospel if you display the love of Christ, especially when there's snow on your driveway. And maybe there's snow on your neighbor's driveway, and you have opportunity to get out there and shovel their driveway. I'm just stating one thing, one way that you can display that love towards our neighbors, and thereby grow a relationship and come to that place where you can share the truths of Scripture with them, and thereby you can bring them to that place where say, well, can I just disciple you? Would you love to know more about these truths? Can I share this Who is God booklet with you? I'm just talking about one way. Maybe there's some other ways that you can use to begin to develop a discipler's lifestyle with our neighbors. Well, these are three things that the Holy Spirit wants us to leave us with, these truths of his presence. And his presence is with us. And especially as we look toward the new year ahead, what can God do if we allow him to work and empower us for what he has called us to? And so if you feel enabled or ill-equipped, praise the Lord and say, God, I'm going to go forward with you and seeking your empowering grace in what you've called me to do. Let's just close this time in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, thank you for your truth and thank you for the ministry of the Spirit in each of our lives. May we, the church, be ever evident of your presence, that we might seek to do ministry, not in our own strength, not in our own abilities, but Heavenly Father, you ask us to seek you and to seek your power and to display the fruit of the Spirit in our lives towards one another and towards the world at large. May we be people that seek to actively do that. For praying this in your name, amen.